hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
And but this morning, the message, the title of my message is Everybody is Waiting for Jesus. Who believes that? I absolutely believe that. People just don't know that they're waiting for Jesus, but everyone is waiting for Jesus. Many years ago, when I left New Zealand and I was gone close to 30 years, I felt that God had put such a stirring in my heart that everyone is waiting for Jesus. They just don't know it. I don't believe they're looking for religion, but they're looking for a relationship. And I believe the world's greatest need is the kind of love that keeps on loving. I love the scripture in John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. And I believe it's one of the most beautiful texts in scripture, that he gave his one and only son. This amazing love that moves out to all God has created, to all whom God has created. Every man and woman in the universe is the object of a ceaseless and generous love. Who's thankful this morning for his generous love? I am so thankful. And I believe when divine love flows into us from God above, how can we help but love as he loves? How can we fail to see people with that vision that God intends us to have? Now, I know all churches, all missions organizations have mission statements, but I love God's mission statement. His mission statement is that none should perish. And I just love that, that none should perish. A great prayer, I believe, to pray is, Lord, let me reflect you. Let people see the real Jesus in my life. Many of you are working in the marketplace, and I think that's an amazing prayer to pray. Lord, let me reflect you. Let people see the real Jesus in my life. He's the Lord of the harvest, and that has been our theme for the past 2 weeks. This is the third week, and I love that. That scripture says, I tell you, open your eyes. And I believe that's what God is saying to the body of Christ worldwide. Open your eyes. Many times we pray for the harvest, and I believe that's good. But I believe that the harvest is ripe now, not tomorrow or the next day. I believe that the harvest is right around us. But the Lord is wanting us, he's wanting to give us eyes to see that harvest that is around us. Ears to hear the opportunities. There's so many opportunities in a day where we hear, and I believe that's a wonderful prayer to pray each day. Lay hands on your eyes. Lay hands on your ears. Lord, let me hear feet that would lead me to the people that you want me to drop a little seed there and to drop a seed there. The harvest is all around us. And I think it's a challenge to Christians worldwide. If we don't harvest, who will? Right. Who will? Who will if we don't harvest? Who will?
Right.
And that's what drives me. That's my passion. If we don't harvest, who will? And and I believe this morning that the Lord is saying that each one of you are harvesters. You know, sometimes we just think it's for special people. But I believe that the Lord has called us right where we are. I believe that we're blessed in New Zealand. He is actually also sending the nations right here to this country. I look at Christchurch right now, and I think there's so many different nationalities that are in Christchurch. I look around the auditorium this morning, and there's so many of you who weren't born here in New Zealand. You've come in from different countries, from different nations. Julia shared that we're equipped, that we carry the scent of heaven with us. Isn't that amazing? The scent of heaven. Steve encouraged us, and we prayed last week for a fresh burden for the lost, that we would be so stirred in our spirits for the advance of the kingdom. And I believe that it starts in prayer. And I said to Steve a couple of weeks ago, I said, Steve, that's the most exciting prayer meeting to me, the prayer meeting on a Tuesday, as we pray for Christchurch, as we pray that New Zealand for Jesus. Amen. Do you know there's going to be a rally up in Wellington on the 30th of October? It's New Zealand for Jesus rally. Apparently, Christians are coming from all over New Zealand to gather in Wellington. It's a day of prayer, but it's also going to be as a protest. As the Speaker of the House has deleted the name of Jesus in the prayer. And I think it's great that Christians are standing up and they're saying, no, this is part. We are a Christian nation. And I know what it's like to be in a nation that's not a Christian nation. I know what it's like to work in non-Christian nations. And we are blessed. I believe compassion is the force that will move us to get the gospel to the nations. And when I speak about the nations, yes, it can mean at times going overseas, but I believe it's right too, where we're planted, right where we are. Compassion moves. Compassion brings action. When we are moved with compassion, we'll do something about it. Until we're moved with the compassion. And I've always loved that Jesus wasn't moved with sympathy, but Jesus was moved with compassion. If we don't have that, the multitudes will continue to be weary and scattered and be like a sheep without a shepherd. And I believe too that every gospel advance starts in the prayer room, starts on our knees. And I know this morning there's some of you that haven't had the opportunity to go out to the different nations. But I know there's many of you here today that have prayed, that have been on your knees for the different nations. You have traveled in prayer through different nations in prayer. And it's powerful. It's powerful. I love, it was many, I don't know, it was in the early 1990s. Of course, communism came down. But I know that Brother Andrew from Open Doors, he put out a cry. And the cry was, will you pray 10 minutes a day for the Iron Curtain countries? That was worldwide. Christians prayed 10 minutes a day for the Iron Curtain countries, for the Iron Curtain to come down. And I was actually living in Europe when I actually saw 10 years later that the Iron Curtain came down. I was fixed to the TV when the Berlin Wall came down. I remember Paula, who I was working with, she was in Sweden at the time, and I called her and I said, Paula, the Berlin Wall has come down. The Iron Curtain is coming down. And we just saw it like a domino effect right throughout the Iron Curtain countries. But I believe it was in God's purpose and plan. But it started in prayer. He uses his people for his plan and his purpose. Mark 16, verse 15. And I love this scripture. It says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. This was Jesus' last command to his disciples. I believe Jesus' last command is our first priority. Right. I believe that the Lord is wanting the body of Christ to have a posture of readiness. Amen? Who believes that? If Jesus lives in your heart, you are a missionary. Right. If he doesn't live in your heart, you are the mission field. I don't know how missionologists come up with these stats, but 1.5 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. Never heard of the name of Jesus. 51 million die a year, close to a million a week. Mother Teresa, I've got some, I guess, heroes, heroines in my life. And Mother Teresa's one of them. And hers was, one of her quotes was, my goal is to win the world for Jesus. And the world is right around us. It says we go to the supermarket. It says we drop our kids off at school. It says we go to work. It says we stop at the gas station and tank. That's the world. That's all around us. I believe God's called us to impact the world. And I get so excited. Ken has the bridge here on a Thursday. It's all different countries coming together, people finding out about Jesus. And I'm going to ask if the clip can be played. On Wednesday, I'm going to leave for Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan actually means the country of the Kazakhs. It's the ninth largest country in the world. It's the size of Western Europe. And it actually is quite a beautiful country. A lot of people think it's just very run down. Can that clip come? I think it's very run down. And yes, when I first went there, it was like 8 years after communism had come down. but a lot of foreign investors have come. As many of you know, Kazakhstan has a lot of oil money, has some of the largest oil fields in the world. And I keep on thinking, Jesus, we need more of that money so that we can advance the gospel. I have so often prayed, Lord, release that oil money within Kazakhstan that we can advance the gospel. Has a population of 18 million. It was my home for 10 years. Many of you might have known and heard about it. It has the space station. When the Russians go to the moon, they actually leave from Baikonur. That is in Kazakhstan. We were also notorious for 500 nuclear tests that were done in Kazakhstan. I've been to areas that have been affected by the nuclear testing, and it's just like you can almost smell death. And we would go there and we just would pray that the Lord would bring life to the people who lived in those areas. There's about 110. This is the Aral Sea. It's also known for one of the world's largest ecological disasters when they actually dammed this. And many times when I'm on the plane going to Kazakhstan, I often seem to sit next to geologists and scientists who are either going to find out how much of the nuclear waves or the radiation is still in the country, or they're trying to work out what to do with the Aral Sea. It borders China. We would be in the car for 3 hours and we would be close to the Chinese border. Borders China, it borders Kyrgyzstan, it borders Turkmenistan, and it borders Uzbekistan. And as I go to Kazakhstan this week, I will actually be going to the border of Uzbekistan to a place called Shymkent, which isn't very far away from what they call the Mecca in Central Asia. If Muslims can't go to Mecca, they will often come to Kazakhstan, to this area called Turkestan. Central Asia has some of the largest groups of people who don't have a viable church in their culture. They include the Uyghurs, the Dungans, the Karakalpaks, people that you've never heard of. When I first moved to Kazakhstan, I was also always rushing to the dictionary or to the internet, trying to find out where do these people live. Tatars. Kazakhstan is 60% Muslim. Because of communism, Islam was also suppressed. But now that communism has come down, Islam is on the rise. Most Kazakhs will say, we are Muslims. There's 15,000 believers from a Muslim background living in Kazakhstan. And I just would love to see that just tripled time and time and time again. God is moving amongst the Muslims. Islam is a religion that says God is not a father and has no son. Islam is a fatherless religion. But I believe at the core of the cry of Muslims is a desire to be loved by a father. and a need for identity. Without a father, a son has no identity. Identity is not about who you are, but about whose you are. And I believe God is hearing the cry of the sons of Ishmael in this hour. Ishmael means God hears. Genesis 16, verse 11, you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. Keep on praying. 1 in 6 people worldwide profess to be Muslims. It's huge. But Jesus is on the winning side. Amen. He's on the winning side. You're wondering what's Karen going to do when she goes back to Kazakhstan. I'm going to meet with our team. We have a team of nationals. When Paula, who I worked with for many years, went to Kazakhstan, we felt that the Lord spoke to us and said, do what Jesus did. Have 12 disciples. So we had 12 disciples. We discipled them. We prayed for them. We prayed emotional healing for them. We started a course called Healing of the Soul, God's restoration of life's hurts, bringing our mind, will, and emotions under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I'm going back to encourage them. We also have a prayer course. We also have a ministry to babushkas. These are the grandmothers who, of course, all came up under communism. And when communism came down, communism actually forgot to take care of their older people. And so I'm really going to really encourage our team. I'll travel with them. I'll meet with different pastors. I'll also be visiting the church that I was part of in Almaty. We had 99% of first-generation believers in this church, and it was so exciting to be part of that. But what we're seeing worldwide, persecution is increasing. A lot of persecution in Kazakhstan for those who leave the Muslim faith. Religious freedom is being restricted by legislation, and the government is constantly trying to control its increase over society. I believe we're going to see an increase of persecution worldwide. But the amazing thing is, the heart of the persecuted church is that the gospel will advance. Is that our heart this morning? That the gospel will advance. Everyone is waiting for Jesus. You can be the answer to someone searching. The Father is calling this morning, and there's a call going out to work with him, to partner with him, to become his accomplices in association and associates in harvesting the earth. He wants us to have his vision. And as I end, imagine transforming one person, being transformed, one household through that one person being transformed, one suburb, one community, one town, the entire city that we live in. It is the kingdom of God working within us that will impact every city around the world. We carry the kingdom of heaven within us. And this morning, I'm going to ask those of you, and I hope you don't mind, those of you who weren't born in New Zealand, to stand. Please don't be embarrassed. It's great. And I believe, look, there is quite a few of you here. And this morning, what I would like to do, I see you weren't born in New Zealand. Jesus and me. And I'm going to ask this morning, these people standing represent the nations. And I'm going to ask us to just look around and to just gather around these people that represent the nations. And this morning we're going to pray that there's going to be a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in the countries that are represented here this morning, that are standing. And let's just start to, maybe you'll say, how do we pray? Just pray in the Spirit. Pray all together. Let's stretch out your hands to those that are around you. And I'm just going to ask you all to stand. Let's just lift up our voice together. Let's believe this morning He is the Lord of the harvest. The fields are ripe. The fields are ripe in Samoa. They're ripe in Canada. They're ripe in Ghana. They're ripe in Great Britain. The fields are ripe. The fields are ripe in the Philippines. Let's just lift up our voices. Lift up our voices this morning in one accord. Let's just lift up our voices. He's the Lord of the harvest.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.